说说少年人的心声，
拨开成长的迷雾，
分享少年人的故事，
领略生命的精彩，
让梦想飞扬，
让心灵起航。
我们是一群阳光少年，
欢迎收听西雅图少年说。
欢迎收听西雅图少年说，我是你们今天的主持人 Anna。 那今天我们很有幸请到了一个非常特别的嘉宾，Brianna。 Brianna 是我通过美国的女生工程师协会认识到的。我在建立女生工程协会的高中的一个分部时，她主动来帮助我们，当我们的辅导员，然后她帮助了我们很多，也是我的一名榜样。So hi everyone, thank you for tuning in to Seattle Chinese Youth Talk. My name is Anna, and today we have a very special guest with us. So Brianna is an engineer, and I met her through the Society of Women Engineers. So when I was starting up the Redmond chapter at my school, we needed to find a counselor, and Brianna came up and she volunteered to do it, and she's been amazing throughout the whole process. And she's also just a really great mentor as well, just to me and then the team at our school. So today we're just going to have a conversation with her about like engineering and about her experiences and her advice for us. So before we get started, let's just have everyone introduce themselves.
大家好，我是 Lucy.
大家好，我是 Thomas.
大家好，我是 Logan.
And then Bree, do you want to just introduce yourself really quick? Just give a summary.
Yeah, sure. As is stated, my name's Brianna. I go by Bree, like the cheese. And I'm an engineer. I've been in the industry for, almost over 9 years now. I'm originally from the East Coast, and I work as an industrial engineer.
So before we get into the questions, I prepared an icebreaker for everyone. And this is, so I'm going to give you guys an engineering question. It's going to be really simple. And I want to go around the table and just have everyone share. And then we'll have Bree share about it as well. So the question is, let's say we have a sailboat and it's just a normal sailboat and there's a sail. And then on the other end of the boat, there's a giant fan.So if we turn this fan on and it's facing the sail, could you blow your own sail and have the boat move? So it's like this would be the sail, and then you have the fan here, and it's blowing air into the sail.
I don't think so, because first of all, if it was possible, I feel like people would have done it. And then second is like, I feel like there would be like opposing forces that make it impossible to...propel the ship forward by itself.
Okay, I probably agree with her, because if it's possible, why isn't like it used more now? I don't know though. I've never like seen how a ship like uses a sail.
Hey, I agree. I don't think it's possible, because otherwise this would be like a glitch, and I don't think this is very scientific. So yeah.
Me too. I don't think this is possible.
Like thinking about this question, it's like, I guess it's kind of confusing, because I've never seen a system like this before. So I generally don't know, but I kind of agree with the reasoning stated before. Yeah.
So I was hoping to trick everyone with this, but unfortunately it didn't work. So yeah, you guys are right. It doesn't work. But, Bree, do you want to share about like why it doesn't work? And if you had a fan and a sail on a boat,theoretically, like, what could you do to make it work?
Yeah, I think a lot of it would have to do, at least in my mind, would have to do with how big the fan is, like, how much power it has behind it. But also, I'm trying to think of what else. I don't actually really know why it doesn't work, other than, like, the amount of power you would have behind it to push the sail.
I think when I first saw this, it was kind of related to this, like, video that was online of a guy who would like go on a skateboard and then have an umbrella in front of him and then have a leaf blower that was like blowing into the umbrella. And then in the video it would move, but someone did like an experiment to see if it worked, and it like apparently didn't work. And so they were like, this is why you can't blow your own sail, because it's basically the same idea. Like, if you blow the air into a sail, it, like, if you think about it, like, it could work, but I think the reason it doesn't is, like, the, like, it's not just the wind, like, blowing into it that causes the boat to move. It's, like, the atmospheric pressure or something related to that.
It's because it's a focal point, right? You're just blowing air into, like, one part instead of all the air around it.
Yeah.
Like, a gust of wind would cover everything else.
Okay. Yeah. So, one of my first questions I have is, so, what... made you want to go into engineering, or can you share, well, first, can you share a bit about, like, what discipline of engineering that you are in specifically, and how is your journey, like, into this?
Yeah, sure. So my undergraduate degree is in mechanical engineering, and so mechanical engineering, in at least the way I think about it, is it's kind of like a catch-all for bunch of different types of engineering, and so that's what kind of allows you to have a lot of flexibility with not just a mechanical engineering degree, but a degree in engineering period. But I've had to take electrical classes, material science, the chemical, like all that stuff. So I had to take engineering classes for all the different types of engineering that all went into mechanical. And one of the reasons that I chose engineering as a whole was because I like to take things apart as a kid. So anytime like a toy broke, or even I remember having a straightener break one time and I didn't understand why it was broken. So I started taking it apart. I won't say that they always got that put back together. But I liked just taking things apart and trying to figure out how it worked. Addition to that, my dad was an electrical engineer, so kind of had some of that background there. And then my physics class, I remember my physics class, one of the things we had to do, I'm sure you guys have maybe had those things where you're given basic materials like paper and tape and asked to build something. And we were asked to build a structure to protect an egg if we dropped it down the stairwell. And I just remember building my structure and my egg dropped like 2 or 3 flights and survived. And so the fact that I was able to do that problem solving, and like create something from paper that protected an egg, just kind of really intrigued me.
Yeah, that's really cool. So yeah, I know electrical engineering is one of the hardest kind of like engineering disciplines out there. So I think it's pretty impressive that you have a background in that as well. And then, does anyone else have any questions following up?
I kind of have a question. So like, what moment in your career were you like most proud of?
Probably one of my most recent ones, in April, I actually graduated with my MBA degree in, with a focus in international business. And the reason I say I'm proud of that is because I also was working full time while doing it. So it wasn't something that I did and continued in school. I worked on that degree in addition to, full time. So a lot of weekends, and I got it to help advance my career. So it was just something different, even though it was an engineering degree. It was just additional learning that I'll be able to use. And I did it, even though there were times where I didn't think I would.
For sure. So that sounds super cool. And I'm also a senior, so I'm applying to all these different places. And I've been really interested in these like management and technology programs. So could you like explain a little bit why it's really valuable to have both sides, both the tech and also the management, like business?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm sure that you guys have dealt with it in school, but they're one of the things that you will come across once you head to college and once you get into your career is there's a lot of teamwork and working with other people, and you'll be in charge and responsible for projects, and you'll have to manage those. So a lot of those skills on how to approach a project, looking at, okay, what people do you need? Do you need someone from financing? Do you need someone from manufacturing? Who do you need to complete the project? So some of that strategic and logic thinking that go into putting together a team to complete the project. And then just those skills of understanding how a business works, understanding like the hierarchy of, I guess, management, and what their true responsibilities are, can really help.
Thanks.
Yeah. So, on Friday, I just went to a DECA competition, which is like business related too. So, yeah, I mean, I kind of, like, have a little bit of experience, just, like, dip my toe in the water for, like, business-related things, and I feel like it's definitely very helpful for just, like, interacting with people in general, I feel like, too.
Oh, yeah, so we know that you're, like, passionate in engineering, but is there anything that you're, like, passionate outside of work and, like, yeah?
Yeah, no, I am, I was gonna say, I'm, as you can see, I'm passionate about working with Society of Women Engineers and just getting to work with females coming into STEM, really anyone coming into STEM, but particularly passionate about the females in the world. But also I am married and have 3 dogs, so I will totally take puppy cuddles anytime. And I'm actually a huge Formula One fan. So if you're ever into racing and want to watch a race, just be prepared that I will go a little crazy. So super passionate about that.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. I've never actually watched a Formula One race before, so that would be interesting.
Yeah. And also, I'm just, like, since we mentioned the Society of Women Engineers, mm-hmm. I'm curious about, like, when you got involved and how you kind of found yourself with, like, SWENEXT.
Yeah. So I originally got introduced to SWE when I was in college. It was at the, like, college welcome fair, similar to actually what you guys did for high school, where you all the clubs are out and you can see what's there. And so that's kind of how I found out about them. And then, of course, being in engineering, it was something that was introduced. And it was a great way to get to know people and make a connection on a college campus, plus being a female in engineering, there's usually not a lot of those in your classes, so had many classes where I was the only one, so knowing that there were other people taking those classes just at different times was really nice. But I actually really got more involved once I started my career. The first company I started with actually had a company, company-wide group, so I instantly connected with that to find common people, because it was a really big company. So trying to find other females in engineering, many network opportunities. I was able to volunteer at like elementary schools and stuff and put on STEM events, so kind of like some of those paper and tape events we did with them. And honestly, when the SWE group for the Seattle area had put out kind of email like, hey, there's a SWENEXT group in Redmond that needs a counselor. I knew it was something that I wanted to be involved in, because even at the professional level, it's great. But I really wish for myself personally that I would have had access to something like that when I was in high school. So wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah, that sounds great. And then because we've heard a little bit about like what you do for work and what you do outside of work, how do you manage to like keep like finding motivation to like do these things, and like how do you balance kind of your like work and then like outside of work, but then also like your personal hobbies? Because I think for a lot of high schoolers now, it's kind of challenging to be able to like find the energy to like keep up with all like that you do, like school and extracurriculars, but also like fitting in time for the things that you want to do?
I remember that struggle. It is hard. I mean, I would say remember there's light at the end of the tunnel. I think for me, especially now that it's not such a repetitive cycle of school and classes, I can kind of set my schedule a little more. But honestly, I'm trying to remember who told me or put it this way, but like putting a carrot out there to dangle. So kind of like setting a goal, whether that's like personal, like something fun, like a fun goal that you want to accomplish, that you really want to do. So wherever some of your passions are that you don't have a lot of time for. I mean, I always like if I get a chance to be creative or do an art project, signing up for like a pottery class. Like I know I've got that on Friday. I got to get through my schoolwork and my work week, and I know I got pottery class on Friday. So little simple things like that, just to something to look forward to that's not school or club work or something like that.
Yeah, like little rewards along the way.
Yeah, reward yourself, guys.
So I'm sure like throughout like childhood and then throughout your career, you've learned a lot of things about like engineering and in general. So what's one piece of advice that you would give to your younger self?
I would definitely say tell myself to not take myself so seriously or too seriously. Definitely. There's a lot of hard work that goes into your school and stuff like that. But also, I guess, remember to have fun. You're living life. There's a lot out there. You're going to have a career. You're going to have a job. But you're also going to have stuff outside of that. So I guess it revolves kind of, I mean, around that authenticity, right? Like, make sure that you're being yourself while you're doing your accomplishments. And just remember, just don't take things too seriously. Things happen and they keep going on. So,
yeah, I think that's really great. I think like sometimes for me, I feel like I'm not flexible enough with some things that come along. So yeah, that's definitely really helpful. But now we're going to put in a quick ad break and then we'll be back after that.
肌肉骨骼伤痛、车祸、工伤，请找康健脊椎治疗中心肖明医师。康健，康健，祝您健康。电话 2061-6216 2061-6216。
巴克利律师事务所专业受理人身伤害索赔，多年来专门办理车祸等意外受伤的案子，索赔成功过后收费，不成功则不收费。联系电话2069206721 2069206721。
位于 Redmond 和 Bellevue 的小百灵幼儿园为1岁半到6岁的小朋友提供中英双语教学，由爱心优质教师执教，并配有营养美味配餐、每周主题课程、艺术兴趣教育等。电话4257613726 4257613726。
Welcome back to our show today. So earlier we were just talking about a little bit about Bree and about some of her advice for high schoolers and for life in general. So coming back, I just want to ask, what do you think? The best way to like kind of recover from a setback or failure in your life would be. So going back to like how I was talking about DECA, the competition. So last year at this time, I also did this competition and then I didn't get into the next level. So for me, that was a really big setback. And after that happened, I don't think I handled it the best way. I just got really sad and just like stayed home for the whole day. So I definitely think that being able to recover from like setbacks is really important. And I want to really know what perspectives that you have on this.
Yeah. And this took me a while to learn. Cause I was very much the same way, even once I got into my career. But the biggest thing I would say is just learn from it. You can think through it, understand what maybe you needed to learn or improve or grow on. And just keep moving forward. I know there's a term out there, like fail fast, because you're going to make mistakes. You're not going to always get to maybe the next step that you want to as quick as you want to, but you're going to learn from it. Even if, I don't know, I think of even if something you don't like, then you learn from it as well. The reason I say that is I got into a role one time. I thought I wanted to do strictly like design or stress analysis as an engineer. It gets really into the nitty gritty stuff. And I did it in a rotation for a little while, and I found out I absolutely hated it. But I learned that I don't ever want to go back there. So, but yeah, just learn from it and keep moving forward. I guess like Dory and Finding Nemo, just keep swimming. So just keep going. You'll life goes on.
Yeah, thank you. And then I know you mentioned like some of the engineering projects that you did. Mm-hmm. So I just want to do a little it's like a bit unrelated of a question, but what's like the coolest engineering project that you've worked on, or the coolest like engineering thing that you know?
I don't know if I have just one. So one of the things that I found in college that I was really passionate about, was I got introduced to the world of composites. And so if you don't know what composites are, it's just a type of material, that can be, that's kind of multi-layered, but I was so intrigued by it. So, I ended up actually finding a company, that worked in manufacturing composites on a very large scale. So getting to be involved in that and being on something that's like 40 feet long, that's a composite, and getting to help like lay that up and through the testing and stuff like that was just something really cool to be a part of, because manufacturing composites on that scale is not an easy task, and it's certainly not popular equipment. So
I don't really know what a composite is. I haven't taken like too many engineering classes like that, so would you mind explaining?
So composites, I guess I'll kind of lay out maybe what I kind of was introduced into when I was in college. I did a Formula One design team when I was in college, so we built a car from scratch to race in a competition the following year. And I decided to make what would be a composite wing structure on the front of the car. And so it's basically like dry fabric material that's like weaved, and then layering that and putting resin on top of it, which is like you're usually mixing two liquids that get heated up and it's creating a chemical reaction, and then it hardens and creates a really, really strong structure. So it takes a lot to break. It's a really, really strong material.
I think I kind of remember learning about that in my chemistry class, but I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
And I want to ask, who had the biggest influence on your life, and how did they shape you?
Yeah. It's definitely both of my parents. Like I'd mentioned, my dad's an electrical engineer, and my mom has done a lot of different things, but she is most above and beyond very creative. And so both of them, very hard workers, always encouraged me to solve my own problems, and how to take a creative approach to it. And they were super supportive too. The amount of times that I remember having to build this catapult structure for physics class, and my dad helping me in the garage, like putting it together and doing all the testing. So they definitely taught me to work hard, and that I could kind of really do anything I wanted to do. So
my question for you is that, what advice would you give to someone trying to figure out what direction to take in their career?
I would say, think about what you're passionate about. I didn't really kind of know what I wanted to do with my career, and sometimes I still don't know. But one of the things that keeps me going in the right direction is thinking about things that I'm passionate about. And when I say that, it's not just like passionate about your hobbies, it's passionate in what you're doing. So for me, I really enjoy getting to help people. And I've found that avenue in a lot of my engineering roles where I'm supporting manufacturing floor. So I'm supporting the technicians and making their lives easier. So looking for your passion in those different perspectives in your career, I think can kind of really help you out on where you think you want to go, even if you don't know exactly what you want to do.
Yeah, I think that's like one of the major questions that high schoolers have now, just like, what do I want to do in the future? So I think that's like what you just shared is very helpful for us all. And then next, I'm wondering like what, because we've talked so much about engineering and like what we've seen for engineering, in your opinion, why is engineering important today?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not trying to sound egotistical here, but like, I think engineers kind of build and shape the future. So if you think about what, how you use engineering every day, right? Like someone had to engineer your laptop, someone had to engineer your car, someone had to engineer the roads, the bridges you cross, the planes that you fly on. So there's engineering in everything that you use, in your daily life. And the other thing I think about is how everyone kind of uses a little bit of engineering on a daily basis. I think back to like the simplest thing of like, okay, how do you plan out your day? Do you look at it from an efficiency perspective? Are you being like super logical? Like, okay, I don't want to have to go back and forth multiple times, so I'm going to go in this like circle. And just how are you planning out like maybe your errands or your tasks and your homework? Are you trying to take like the quickest possible route? So just that kind of mindset of how you approach just your daily things.
Yeah. I'm curious about your take on like the broader, I guess, implications of engineering. So obviously there's like a rise in AI. We all know about this. But like, I guess the innovation has mostly been on the software side so far. As a mechanical engineer, I guess, how do you see mechanical engineering fitting into this rise of AI, whether it be like AI humanoids, stuff like that, robotics?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, right there at the very end that you said it, robotics. And so someone has to design those parts. Someone has to figure out how it's going to get built, how it's going to get structured. I mean, you definitely have the electrical engineers coming in quite a bit on the hardware side of it. But yeah, there's definitely still, with the rise of AI, there are so many different types of engineering that go into it other than just the programming side of it. So they're still needed.
Okay. You already talked about a little bit how engineering is like important in your daily life, but maybe like expand on why, like, how would you like use engineering like in your daily life?
Okay, yeah. So I'll give you an example of how I have had to use it. So as you get older and you own a home, you typically have things around the house that need getting done. Things break and you have to figure out how to fix it. And sometimes it's like, it's too much money to hire someone, it's too much money to replace it. So you're going to have to fix it. I've had to do that with my refrigerator at home, trying to figure out why it wasn't cooling anymore. We had to do it with our dishwasher. If you can't tell, there's a theme here. But figuring out why our dishwasher wasn't getting water. One of the things I've had to do, that isn't an appliance would be our lawnmower wasn't starting after the winter. And I had to figure out why, and I had to, like, I honestly used YouTube to help me try to figure it out. And one of the things was that we had left the gasoline in the mower over the winter, and that caused it to flood the carburetor. So it's like I had to take apart the lawnmower and then empty out all the old gasoline and figure out how to even do that. So that seems like very, I guess, maybe adultish, but you'll start figuring out just little things that you kind of got to do and problem solve on your own.
Yeah. So I'm hearing that there's a lot of like practical help that I can help you with. And on the topic of like skills, so I just want to, I'm kind of curious for what do you think is the most important like hard skill, like a technical skill that you've learned so far, and then also the most important soft skill, like kind of a non-technical skill that you just like learn it, like a life skill that you've learned.
Yeah. So technical skill, I say problem solving because I don't see that as a soft skill. And problem solving is pretty broad too, right? You can be problem solving in a lot of different aspects, but problem solving in a way where you're thinking through to a solution without jumping to the solution first. So there's a lot of steps when you think through a problem of like, okay, what really is the problem? Why is this happening? And really digging into the reasons why and asking questions. And sometimes that can go into like data analysis and all this different kind of investigation. Because instantly jumping to a solution might not always be the best way to do it. So just developing your mind to do that problem solving, I definitely would say has at least been a pretty good hard skill for me to learn. And I will say that hard skills too are also, there are some that are very much learn on the job. Like I only got some CAD work when I was in college. But when I had to do AutoCAD and stuff, when I got into my job, they send you the training and they help me learn. And then of course you have people at work that you can ask to answer questions, and not everyone uses the same software. So you do a lot of your hard skills too on the job. Soft skills, I would definitely say communication is a big one. Just because you are communicating with a lot of different personality types and not everyone communicates in the same way. They don't provide information the same way, and they also don't take information the same way. Just learning how you need to maybe alter or tweak your communication can be a big skill. It's a continuous learning skill, but definitely a good skill to work on.
Yeah, I totally agree, because I feel like when you're in school, everyone you kind of interact with is your same age or like basically the same as you. But then once you start going to like college and work, you start having to interact with so many different people. So, yeah, I definitely feel like communication is one of the top, like, skills that people should have. Does anyone else want to say anything? I've been talking for a bit, so I'm going to be able
to. So, I know you've mentioned a lot of, like, the benefits that come with being, like, an engineer, and also just, like, how much society needs, like, engineers to design, like, everything. And then also, like, just at home when you're, like, fixing, like, materials at home. So how would you, like, encourage young people to consider pursuing a career in engineering?
Yeah. I'd say it offers a lot of flexibility for you to do anything you want to do. I know one of the things I mentioned with mechanical engineering is that it takes in so many different types of other engineering into what mechanical engineering really becomes. But having that skill set as an engineer can let you take various roles in career paths that you might not have otherwise had because you have those skills in that background that allow you to think and approach things in a different way than maybe some other roles. The reason I say that is because with my engineering degree, I have gone through various types of what would be not necessarily maybe all engineering roles. I have been everything from a manufacturing engineer to working with large equipments and robotics to flight test on an airplane and working with airline customers and having more of that face-to-face, that customer interaction. And now I'm an industrial engineer, and hopefully I would like to move into management. So it allowed me to take all those different paths and roles that I probably wouldn't have thought of originally as an engineer, but it's kind of just allowed me a lot of flexibility and where I want to go.
So I know you mentioned a couple of the projects that you've worked on in the past, and personally, I'm pretty curious to learn more about them. So would you mind kind of explaining maybe like your two or three favorite ones a bit more?
Yeah. I'd probably say one of my favorite ones was when I was an equipment engineer. I was part of a team that was responsible for installing and qualifying large equipment. And the reason I say that is because when you qualify a piece of equipment, it has to meet certain standards and you have to make sure that it's going to function all the time so it doesn't create like quality issues because those can be really expensive in a manufacturing setting. And so I was involved in understanding how those machines worked and getting to go through like the testing and experimenting with them and just really be a part of how all of it came together to finally produce the final product. And then recently, one of my favorite ones has been in my new role is getting to transition a manufacturing line in Belgium. I was able to work with the site and transition from what would be called a batch flow to a one-piece flow. And really what I'm saying there is creating efficiency in production so that they can produce more, produce them faster, and also makes it easier for the technicians in how they manufacture the product. So it was a lot of fun. It was challenging, but it was really cool to get to work with another site and also in another country.
Thank you. So right now we're going to have another ad break, and then we're going to come back right after that.
餐饮、
娱乐、
招聘、
交友、
买房、
投资、
演出，
请找西雅图中文电台。
中文电台广告使您梦想成真，最低收费每月仅仅$100就有机会使您的生意或者活动家喻户晓。
赶快行动吧！广告热线206-619-8698，206-619-8698，
或者发 email 到 crsradio@gmail.com。
西雅图中文电台需要您的支持。如果您曾经听到过西雅图中文电台的节目，如果您曾经在西雅图中文电台网站或者微信平台上读到过我们的报道，如果您参加过中文电台举办的演出或者其他活动，请您支持我们。西雅图中文电台是由非营利组织西雅图华人广播协会支持的，大多数的主持人多年来义务为西雅图以及全球的华人提供精神食粮。请您向具有 501c3 免税资格的西雅图华人广播协会捐款，捐款的 PayPal 账号是 scbaseattle@gmail.com， 捐款电话206-619-8698，206-619-8698， 西雅图中文电台，感谢您的支持。
有温度，
有深度，
有角度，
这里是流光溢彩的思辨舞台，
讲风趣，
讲情趣，
讲乐趣，
这里有纯正地道的情境美语。您正在收听的是西雅图中文电台西雅图少年说。
欢迎收听西雅图少年说的情景美语节目。那现在让我们听一段关于参观一个博物馆的对话。
Lily walks up to the museum counter.
Hi, how much are the tickets?
They're $15 each. Would you like to pay now?
Yes, we'll take 2 tickets, please.
Great, here are your tickets, and these are your wristbands. Please put them on before entering.
Thank you.
Here you go. Enjoy.
Lily and Brian are excited to start their tour. As they walk away from the counter, they begin discussing the exhibits they are most excited to see.
I'm excited to see the ancient artifacts. It'll be like stepping into another time.
Yeah, there are so many exhibits to check out. I'm really looking forward to the Egyptian section.
接下来让我们听一个中文翻译。
Lily 走到博物馆的柜台。
你好，票多少钱？
每张票是15美元。你们现在要付钱吗？
是的，我们要两张票，谢谢。
好的，这是你们的票，这是你们的腕带。请在进入前带上它们。
谢谢。
这是你们的，祝你们玩得开心。
Lily 和 Brian 对开始参观感到兴奋。当他们从柜台走开时，他们开始讨论最期待参观的展览。
我很兴奋能看到古代文物，那就像步入另一个时代一样。
是啊，这里有很多展览等着我们，我特别期待埃及部分的展示。
Okay, brochure, 小册子。在对话中，工作人员说 Would you like a brochure to guide you through the museum? 这意味着工作人员问 Lily 和 Brian 是否需要一本小册子来帮助他们参观博物馆。一个例句是 I picked up a brochure at the entrance. 我在入口处拿了一本小册子。
Exhibit 的意思是展览。在对话中 Lily 说 I'm excited to see the ancient artifacts.It'll be like stepping into another time. 这意味着 Lily 对于能够参观博物馆里的古代文物感到兴奋。一个例句是 The dinosaur exhibit is amazing. 恐龙展览非常棒。Exhibit 是名词，是表示展览，但加上 ed 后变成动词 exhibited， 表示展示或展出。比如 ,the artifacts were exhibited in the museum. 这些文物曾在博物馆展出。
Ticket, 票。在对话中 ,Lily 说 ,How much are the tickets? 这意味着 Lily 在问博物馆的票价。列举 ,The tickets are on sale for 10% off. 这些票现在打9折出售。Ticket, 作为名词表示票。当它变为动词时通常会加上add 变成 ticketed， 作为动词是 ticket 表示发放票据或票证， ticketed 是过去分词形式，表示已经发放过票。例如 the event is ticketed， 这个活动需要票。
动词 to be 在英语中非常重要，它会根据主语的不同而变化。下面是它的现在时的变化方式 ，I am 用于表示自己。You are 用于称呼一个人或多人。He, she, it is 用于表示一个人或者物体。We are 用于表示自己和他人。They are 用于表示他人。在对话中，我们可以看到一些例子。I'm excited to see the ancient artifacts. I am 指的是 Lily， 谈论她的兴奋。It is a large museum. It is 指的是博物馆，描述它的大小。
There is 单数和 there are 复数用于表示某物的存在。下面是他们的使用方法。There is 用于谈论一个事物， there are 用于谈论多个事物。对话中我们可以看到例子。There is a brochure on the counter. 柜台上有一本小册子。 There are many things to see in the museum. 博物馆里有很多可以看的东西。
动词 to be 也会根据时态的不同而变化。它的过去时 past tense 是 was 和 were 用于表示过去发生的情况。比如 I was 我过去的时候 ，you were 表示过去一个人或多人，也可以说 they were。比如 we were at the museum last week， 我们上周在博物馆。还有一个将来时 future tense， will be 是表示未来的状态 ，I will be 是表示我未来的状态，和 you will be 是表示未来你们将会。比如 we will be visiting the exhibit next week。我们下周将参观这个展览。那今天我们的情景美语就到这了。让我们回到刚才的话题。So, before we were talking about, we were kind of discussing like engineering and kind of what, a lot of the specifics about it, specifically the projects that you were working on before this. And, I just want to see if anyone else has any questions right now before, I ask some more.
And I want to ask, do you have any advice for young people looking to make a difference in their community through STEM?
Yeah. Let's see. This one, I definitely would say that kind of like SWENEXT has been doing and trying to plan on doing, being able to try to maybe get involved in the elementary schools, even the middle school levels, are a great way to do it. There's also other organizations where you can maybe use some of your engineering skills. One of the things that I used to do with a company was Habitat for Humanity. That was a great way to just get out there and you're doing the basics of building houses. So any way you can get involved with whether there's organizations already out there or you start something like just having a STEM event at a school.
We've talked a lot about like STEM and engineering, but I think in general, I just want to ask like how can students today start building skills that will help them succeed in the future?
Yeah. I would say let yourself be creative. And the reason I say that is because a lot of that creativity is what will develop problem-solving skills. And I just lost the other one. I totally had it. Wow, I don't know how you guys do this all the time. Oh, what was it? I totally... Sorry, guys.
No, it's okay. It happens to all of us.
Sorry.
We can come back to this, too, if you remember it later. And then another thing that I was curious about was... I'm forgetting it, too. Wait. So I think a lot of us... like when we're kind of thinking about graduating high school and kind of getting into college and like thinking about a future past that, there's definitely like, you have to be able to know more people and kind of like network. But I know like nowadays some people don't really like using that word, but just getting to know more people, like professionally, I guess. So, because I feel like as a high schooler, I don't really have experience with that. I've never really been at like a corporate event or something like that would happen. So can you share a little bit about your experiences with that?
Yeah, that is definitely something that's pretty nerve-wracking when you first get started. I would definitely say... anytime you are even at any kind of event, whether it's professional or not, maybe just even starting something small as introducing yourself really helps.
But the big thing for me too, is if you're thinking about, kind of wanting to get to know what other people do or developing that connection and network, is reaching, like, it sounds really scary, but I promise it's not as scary as it sounds, but just like cold emailing someone, like you're just straight up emailing them out of the blue. You just simply introduce yourself and say, hey, I'd love to hear what you do, what your day is like, and kind of just get to know you. And usually, what those, at least what I've referred to them as, is informational interviews. So it's a way to develop a network while also just creating a more like personal connection with people. When you get into larger things like a corporate event or a conference, those, everyone's on the same page. So always remember that like everyone is nervous about it, but there's so many people there. And there's going to be people there with either the same or less experience than you. So there's really no wrong way to do it. So don't be afraid to just ask people out of the blue for what they do or that connection.
Yeah, thank you. And going into a bit more like lighthearted question, how does a day in your life look like? Like a day in the life of a mechanical engineer?
Nowadays, not to scare people, but I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I have a bit of a drive, which is a typical Seattle thing. But the reason that I do that is because, one, I work with, international sites. So sometimes I will have early calls because in Europe they're finishing up their day while I'm just starting. So I got to catch them before they're out of the office. And the other is, being in manufacturing and production. That's when they're starting. They're usually starting around 5 a.m. And then they're done by 2. So I'm usually getting in the office. I will either have meetings with Europe or some kind of operationals call. And then I'm kind of, usually I might need to assess what the priorities are that I have at that time. And sometimes I'll be doing kind of data analysis. Sometimes I need to figure out how to get a piece of equipment shipped to another site. Recently, I was on rapid phone calls to do like an audit. So I have to call people and ask them about their process and make sure they're doing it right. And one of the things that I always try to do, especially when I'm in the office, is I go out and I walk the floor, and one, allows me to get some steps in and away from my desk, but also I go and I just touch base with the mechanics and see, one, how they're doing on a personal level, but, like, two, do they have any issues, do they have any ideas, like, for improvements, and so I just go out and I touch base with everyone and also just kind of observe how they're building things, because I always catch something new when I'm out there. So usually that's one of my favorite parts of the day. So yeah, and then usually I'm back to my desk and going through analysis, touching base with other engineers or my manager to work through something. And if we're on a Tuesday, I'm always going to tacos for lunch. So there's some fun in there too.
Yeah, and I know you mentioned, like, building things, like, being able to see things being built. How do these look like? Like, what scale is this on? Like, is it an everyday thing that you can just, like, see something being built in the building? Or, like, is it sometimes? Like, how does it look like?
Yeah, so we're just a one-shift crew. So they are usually building things all the time. There might be different configuration. So there might be a part that's different from a build to build, depending on how many they have in a customer order. So they could build 5 of one and 10 of another. So they'll just be maybe a part or two different. But then there's some of the more custom work that doesn't happen all the time. So sometimes I've been at other sites where they're building. It's a one-off project, and I'll get to see them building it or the engineers testing it. So those were always kind of really fun to catch, too.
That sounds really fun. And then also in college, did you ever, like, because I remember this, like, last summer when I went to the University of Michigan for, like, a camp, and then I was walking, we did, like, a couple of tours of their buildings, and then I saw, like, I think in one of the research buildings, there was, like, a lab going on, and there was a lot of people, like, and there's a lot of equipment, mm-hmm. So when you were in college, did you ever have, like, projects where you had to, like, build major things?
Yeah, so definitely had a lot of those lab works. That was probably more in my junior, senior year. But also, I remember one of the more hands-on thing that I always had to build were anytime I had to do a circuit board for my electrical classes. We were doing a project because we would carry around a toolbox that had all our wires and wire strippers and circuit boards and stuff in them. So those were frustratingly fun. And honestly, I think that one of the things that was the most hands-on thing was actually stuff that was kind of outside of your regular class schedule, where the projects you can get involved in, that were basically like a club. So like I had mentioned, I did the Formula SAE team building a formula car, and that allowed me to get real hands-on. Like I was doing more machining than just like the one semester machining class. Kind of got to get exposed to more machines and get my hands a little more dirty. But yeah, some of those classes I got to be on, even do welding as well in one of my classes. So yeah, there's definitely a lot to get your hands on inside and outside the classroom.
Yeah, thank you so much. And once again, thank you so much for coming in for our show today. I definitely learned a lot, and I'm sure a lot of all our listeners did too. And it was great being able to hear just about your experiences. And I also really liked knowing how your day looked like. So yeah, thank you for all our listeners for tuning in, and we'll see you next week at the same time.
感谢收听西雅图中文电台每周六晚上为您带来的西雅图少年说。
您可以在节目中拨打电话888-298-5569，
或者在我们的社交媒体、脸书、微信、微博等留言，
也可以成为我们的嘉宾，分享您的故事，倾诉您的困惑。
您可以通过冠名、广告或赞助等方式来支持我们的节目。
西雅图少年说，期待您的热情参与。
下周六晚上8点，我们准时相约。